So Sarah, can you call the roll?
Yes, so it is 7:35.
No,
Dan Hollenbach. Okay.
Present.
Kathleen Hughes.
Present.
Don Mizgala.
You're on mute,
Don. Don. I think you're muted.
I see you, Don.
Not
you. Wait, you got to say it here.
I was on mute. Sorry. Present.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Ron Lamar.
Here.
John Rieger.
Here.
Joel Luking.
Here.
Jack Flynn.
Here.
Julie Armstrong.
Present.
And Chairperson Cardi.
Here. Do we have any public comments?
Nobody signed up for public comment, but there are a number of people on the line. So,
does anyone want to make a public comment? Going.
Can we have people identify who's online, who's not a part of the DEER committee?
Well, I actually don't. It's not really necessary. I mean, they're entitled to view, and if they want anonymity, they're entitled to it.
All right.
Can I get a motion to approve the last minute meeting's minutes?
Motion to approve.
I'll second it. That's Julie.
Is that Julie?
Yes, Sarah. Hi.
Sarah, if you would call the roll.
Hi. Okay. Yes. Dan Hollenbach?
Here.
Yes, Dan.
Yes.
Kathleen?
Okay. Yes.
Don?
Don?
Yes, I said yes.
Sorry, what did you hear?
Hi, sir. Yeah.
Ron?
Yes.
John Rieger?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Jack?
Me? Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
And Chairperson Cardi?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is the vote on the report. Apparently we need magic language. So if someone could move to submit the committee report to the village president and board of trustees, and then we can discuss it.
I so move.
I think I should say it. Move to submit the committee report to the village president and trustees, board of trustees.
I move to
second.
Report to
okay.
the board of trustees.
That's fine. Okay. My first question is, I tried to incorporate all the comments I got from everyone. First of all, thanks to Sarah for doing the Lions work because I messed up the formatting terribly and Sarah fixed it. So thank you, Sarah. Before we begin, is there anything that was in the that wasn't in the report that someone wanted in the report and we can discuss that? Again, I was just kind of I got some input from some people and I incorporated it to the best of my ability. And then I tried to incorporate comments that were made throughout the course of the committee. But you know, I'm not perfect, and so I'm willing to listen to input. And what I figure is we can basically just sort of get a sense of the committee if we want to add it, because let's just make this our last meeting. So if someone wants to add something, then we'll just get a sense of the committee to add it, and then we'll just incorporate it into the report. So was there
I just had a question.
Go ahead, Julie.
I think Dan might have been first. So go ahead, Dan.
Oh yeah. My video is kind of shaky, so it's going in and out. But I might have missed it. But did we, you know, if we do the recommendation, you know, for the calling, don't we get to the opportunity to? Didn't they say we had the opportunity to designate our charity for the meet? I don't think that was.
I could be wrong, Dan, but I believe that that's up to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
I think they, in our discussions, though, they said we could.
You could be right. I mean, but that would be a village board consideration, not really this committee's consideration.
Okay. It's not that. It's
yeah,
nice. I mean, it's nice thing that goes to a local charity. Right.
The important part is, the important part for me is that at least the proceeds, the protein from the cull will go help feed people. You know, who it feeds is not really my issue. But yeah, but that is a part of the program.
Yep.
That they butcher and then provide it to food pantries. I don't know which ones.
Okay.
Julie, go ahead. You're muted, Julie. There
you go. Hi. I just actually had a question after reading the report, and I'm sorry I didn't submit this prior to Tom, but so Mr. Anker of the Forest Preserve, his commentary is pretty weighted in the report, and I know that was a conversation that was had, but it was also an email that was sent, that cited Mr. Anker and a conversation or an email exchange between he and Joel that we actually never brought to bear in the committee meetings, and I'm not sure if we shared publicly. So I wanted to just understand that is why Mr. Anker, you know, is he on record now through the Forest Preserve with his commentary, or is that still like off the record, or how is that being treated, I guess?
I don't know that it's off the record. He was reluctant to appear before the committee. I think that's a fair characterization, Joel. Yeah, but bear in mind, Julie, there were two different conversations with him. There was one Joel had with, actually, Joel, I'll let you speak to this because you know it better than I do.
So Julie, I did forward, he gave me permission to forward an email to the committee, which I sent to Sarah, and I believe she did circulate it. Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, she did. I saw that, Joel. Yeah, that's not my question. Yeah, that I did.
And then I did comment on his email during a meeting, I believe.
And but there was a subsequent conversation you had with him, right, Joel?
Right.
It was closer in time to where we are now. I don't remember exactly when, but like May or like March-ish.
Right. And I did comment on that conversation as well. There was a follow-up conversation.
Julie, the record, this isn't a court. So I would assume that Joel is a faithful narrator of what he said. And so I don't know that we need to have him actually appear. He was reluctant to appear because this is obviously a highly charged issue, and the Forest Preserve likes to distance themselves from it as much as they can. And right, so
I believe his comments were well stated and accurately stated in the report from his email. So he allowed his words to be shared with the committee, were his email.
So Joel, he actually said you can use this and you can share this with the committee.
He gave me permission to share his email, to circulate it within the committee, which I did via Sarah.
Okay. As an official comment or position, and I understand it's not a court, Tom, I get that. It's not the angle I'm taking. I just, what I've been after from day one is just the facts, right? So having the Forest Preserve go on record with the facts versus an off record thing, right, that we didn't, you know, and I don't, you know, want to say we did or didn't do, a public forum on it. I'm just saying I want to acknowledge, since there was some gravity around Mr. Anker's commentary in the report, was he willing to actually be on record for that, or was that an off the record comment that we were using as supplemental information on the report? That's all I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I would characterize, based on what Joel said, I would characterize it as on the record, but not in front of us. But bear in mind also, Julie, that we do have the letter from Arnold Randall, which was actually not sent to us, but to the village board, that also suggested a controlled culling was an appropriate remedy. So we've got two different, I think the information Joel provided us was valuable because this is the guy that does it, but the general superintendent of the Forest Preserve in his January 2020 letter to the village board indicated that controlled culling was also appropriate. So to me, the reason I included both of them is they sort of buttressed each other.
Yeah, for me, the challenge I continue to have is that the Forest Preserve isn't kind of officially coming to our village saying this is their recommendation for our village, although he's a representative of the Forest Preserve, right? And so it appeared to me that it was off the record based on the email commentary to the report. So that's what I'm trying to get clarity on.
But unquestionably, the January 2020 letter from Randall to the village
was on the record. I mean, it was on parked or Forest Preserve stationary.
Yeah, that's not the one I'm citing.
Well, I know, but I'm saying though, that the Forest Preserve has stated their official position. I think just that Joel's conversation with the biology guy sort of buttressed that earlier letter. So in
thanks words, for clarifying.
I just think Joel got additional information that wasn't available or wasn't apparent from the official letter, and asked the guy about it. And I have complete faith in Joel that it's an accurate reporting.
Yeah, and I wasn't questioning faith in Joel.
I wasn't suggesting
just so you know, Joel. Okay,
I
just was clarifying that piece of information. That's all specifically to Mr. Anker. So, sorry, Kathleen. I know you've been wanting to talk.
No worries. I just want to follow up and say, I mean, you know, I hear you, Julian. Wanting that's why I was glad we got an email. Otherwise, you know, no offense, Joel, but I think people could say, well, how do we know he really said that? So the fact that he got an email, you know, kind of stating it. And I think the thing that the community needs to be reminded of is, you know, this, the Forest Preserve has been neglected by Cook County Forest Preserve. And so they're going to be very careful of what they say about the condition of the Forest Preserve, because we fund it through our taxes and it's not been managed appropriately. So, you know, in terms of on the record, off the record, there's really technically no difference. And there's hearsay, but something in writing is as much on the record as, you know, a document that's notarized, you know, for all intents and purposes. That's kind of just what I wanted to add.
No, and that's totally, and I get that, Kathleen. I think that email, and I don't know, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, the email that was forwarded by Joel wasn't put as part of a packet or anything in any public forum. So that's all I'm bringing to light.
Got it. And probably a good thing to add it maybe just so we, you know,
for
well, put it out there.
I'm not sure if that was missed, but that's all I was trying to understand was the email we got. In the beginning, it seemed that he was off the record. And if I misinterpreted what was said on the email that was sent to the committee that we should keep it confidential, then my apologies. And that was distributed to the committee. But then if it's being cited, and that's why, Tom, I'm trying to keep on point that I'm specifically referencing Mr. Anker, not the other gentleman, is if he's being cited, then I just want to make sure that you're now saying that he's on the record with it. But the on the record is more the conversation than the email that was sent, or maybe it's both. And I don't want to sit here and argue this one point all night. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to defer to Joel on this one.
Yeah. Hey, Julie, you raise a fair point. And I mean, all his comments were taken from the email. And maybe it's appropriate for me to reach out to him to ask him if his comments can go in the report. But he absolutely gave me permission to share his comments, their objective comments with the committee, which I did. And to your point, Julie, I'm certainly willing to reach out to him and say, hey, Chris, is it acceptable if, you know, we cite your comments in our final report? I mean, I think they were, for me personally, his comments were extremely meaningful coming from a professional.
No, and so I think that's what I'm trying to get to is that if he is willing to go on record and he is a Forest Preserve representative and that is a factual, those are facts that he's bringing to bear that are influencing the report recommendation, that's all I'm trying to get to here, right? And so
I understand your point, Julie.
Yeah.
The one thing though is if we need to wait on that conversation between Joel and Anker, we're gonna have another meeting.
Oh.
Unless we can shape the...
Would it be possible to drop his name, Tom, or not? So this report, I assume, is going to become public, of course, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's already public, Joel. It was published
yeah,
with
already,
the...
Already
it was
public.
Already published with the meeting, the minutes of today. The agenda for today.
I'm not trying to have it drop, per se, but I'm trying to make it official. So
I'm fine with the point you're raising. I'm just saying that if... We would then need to have Joel go back to the guy and say, is it okay if we publish this? And if he says no, then we got to amend the report, which means we've got to have another meeting.
I didn't know that was going to be the consequence, but if he's going to be a pretty big gravity on the report as an expert in the Forest Preserve, then I think it's warranted. And
may I say something, Tom?
Sure.
Joel, jump in here. The fact that he said that you can share this with the committee and you shared it with the committee, our meetings-
Means it's gonna be on the record.
Are on the record.
Oh.
So I think this is a new point. It's on the record. It has been on the record.
Joel, can I ask Joel,
so this is all public record.
Joel, did you share your summaries with Anchor?
I'm sorry, Tom.
Did you share your summaries with Anchor, which you published to the rest of the committee?
I did during one of our meetings. Yes.
Okay. I had no objection to what you characterized the conversation.
I'm sorry.
He had no objection. He didn't say no, Joel. I didn't say this or anything like that.
Oh.
I'm assuming he didn't. I'm just asking.
Right. No. What I did is I got permission to share his comments with the committee, which I did.
Right. But did he review your summary of his comments, is my question.
No, because all I shared with the committee was his actual email.
Oh, okay.
You're right.
This has always been somewhat of a political issue for the Forest Preserve. They don't want to embrace this because they don't want to have to deal with it. And so I'm taking Joel at his word. I don't think we need to get him to affirm what he said, especially given that apparently I forgot that, Joel. I thought yours were summaries. I forgot that one was an email. Was the one like heavily edited where he includes like the books we should read? That was the one
that was
from him.
Provided to me, correct.
Well, I'll leave it to the committee. Maybe we can just get a sense of the committee of whether or not we need to go back to him. But you know, we got an email from him.
It's public
record. No, we didn't. We did, and it wasn't public record, Dawn, excuse me. So what happened was it was forwarded from Joel with Mr. Anchor's email address taken off. So it was a cut and paste. And Joel, I'm not questioning your integrity here, but it was a cut and paste with Mr. Anchor's email taken off. And the note to the committee said we need to keep it confidential. And I don't recall it being brought forward as a public piece of the packet is all I'm trying to say.
Sarah,
and so we can clarify that. Yeah. And Joel, I'm not questioning that you cut and paste the wrong information at all.
Well, hold on, Joel. Sarah, was that a part of any of it's been so many. Was that a part of the packet that Joel's?
I can go back and look. I don't recall off the top.
I don't either.
Right. So, Sarah, I believe it was an email dated January 12th.
Okay. Thank you.
And I can just read to everybody what my email was to Sarah. I mean,
but I understand Julie's point. If it wasn't a part of the pack, I mean, it had to have been a part of the packet because I wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
Hey, Tom, what if we did this? What if we say, in respect that he said to only share this with the committee? That in the report we say all committee members acknowledged that they were forwarded an email that was sent to Joel stating this.
I'm hopeful that I'm hopeful it was actually included in the packet.
Yeah, let's look at the packets.
January 12th.
I forwarded the email to Sarah on January 12th.
So what meeting would that have been for us?
Well,
it would have been the January 19th meeting. I'm looking at it right now. I don't think it's in there, but I would say that emails that come over the village's email server are subject to public review. They are subject to the Freedom of Information Act. And they are matters of public record.
What does that mean in regards to the committee? Because it was sent to the whole committee, Sarah, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know what that, if you could translate that for me. I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
Sorry, I don't mean to use the administrative jargon.
No,
here.
That's okay.
it just means, you know, when we receive a Freedom of Information Act request and somebody asks for, you know, emails related to deer or something like that. That is an email that would pop in the search for of the village's email archiver, and it would be, you know, it would be released possibly with redactions depending on any if there's, you know, personal information or something like that. I mean, there are sorry, I'm blanking on the words here. There are certain things that can't be released, but the materials in that email would be subject to release.
But also bear in mind that it was fully discussed by the committee at the meeting. So I guess I'm missing the significance of it. I'm looking right now because I don't know, but even if it wasn't published in advance, we discussed it at a number of meetings. So his opinion is not public, is public knowledge.
Well, that's what I'm trying to confirm, that he is officially going on record. That's what I'm saying.
And well, he officially went on record when Joel related the conversation to the committee.
No, because the email said specifically we need to keep this confidential. So that's what I'm referring to.
But it was no longer confidential when Joel released it, when Joel publicized it to the committee and anyone that was on the call.
Okay, we're going circular here, but I think
I guess I don't understand the concern that you have. Are you denying that he's...
Because the comments on the report put Mr. Anker as a gravity point of the information, and he has not directly addressed the committee, nor do I see a direct email besides a copy and paste for him to go on record with his opinion. That is all I'm trying to bring to bear here. And right, I don't recall, I mean, I'm more than happy to be wrong if we can go back to the notes from the committee meeting after that email and refer to the discussion. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's all I'm trying to say.
So that would have been the minutes from...
Tom, you have other people that want to speak here.
Yeah, okay. I think, Ron, you were... raising your finger periodically?
Yeah, I just want Sarah to clarify. If that was sent to a River Forest email server, then it is part of the public record. Is that correct? Would you clarify that, please?
That is correct. There are certain exemptions within the Freedom of Information Act request. So
for
there
personal
are
information
that can't be released or it would be released with redactions or something like that. But the subject matter and the materials in that email would not be subject to any redaction. So
Sarah, didn't you say that would only pertain to personal information, correct?
There's like seven exceptions, but
there's quite a few. But
okay, thank you for
clarifying. So like Joel's personal email address would be redacted, but that would be it.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm. But John,
did you say John?
No, I'm sorry. I raised my hand when I saw you, Jeff. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Listen, I'll admit I didn't read the email, so I'm not even sure where, but if it was a copy and paste where he specifically says confidential, it's confidential. I mean, I don't care where it goes. That's what he's saying. Is that what he said?
It doesn't necessarily make it confidential, though.
Well, the intention is confidential. I mean, if it was to Joel and he said to keep it confidential and then that email got forwarded to the village, I mean... Well, we've got to check with them. I'm sorry.
John, I believe that his request was to keep it within the committee, which...
Yeah. Well, this is allowing it to go out. I would check with them.
Under the Open Meetings Act, you can't do that.
What's that?
Under the Open Meetings Act, you can't do that. We can't share information amongst ourselves that isn't public.
Okay, fair enough.
So this might be a helpful point. In my email to Sarah that was circulated to the committee, I was the one who suggested that we keep the comments confidential to our committee at this time. That's a direct quote for my email. But hey, I'm all for respecting, you know, what people are comfortable with here. But he clearly gave me permission to share his comments with the dear committee, which I certainly did by forwarding his email. Right.
I see. I misunderstand.
In the operation of law, we can't keep it amongst ourselves. We have an obligation under the Open Meetings Act to share that information. So I'm not sure how to proceed, but he authorized Joel to share it with the committee, which then meant that the committee is obliged to share it with everybody else. Dan, go ahead.
Well, can we just put it, attach it to a document, as a reference in the report, or does that entail another meeting?
No, we can amend the report as much as anyone wants. Okay. But bear in mind that those are emails.
Exhibit A, the email.
I think we're already at exhibit C, so this would be D.
Oh, okay. Would that be good enough for you,
Julie?
For everyone, Julie.
I don't understand from the Public Acts meeting. Oh, anything that comes the Public Meetings Act, it's open. It's already in the public domain. Yeah, it's retrievable. It's I'm having a hard time understanding why we're even discussing this. I understand the but Joel already said, I know, but let me finish. Okay. Let Julie talk for a long time here. So let's, my concern is that we have the Open Meetings Act. I sat through that entire online and did the entire, and abide by it. So Joel is the one that said that he recommended that we keep it amongst the committee. I don't personally see where the issue is.
Because I don't see anything from Mr. Anker saying he's on the record. That's the question. And the question is, did we make the email public as part of the packet, and or did we talk about it in public, in a public forum, i.e. one of our committee meetings, and make it part of the conversation? And I don't remember that part. So that's all I'm bringing to bear, Don, because of the gravity of his commentary that's going into the report. That's all I'm trying to say. So we
can clarify. You're next, but just to clarify, in both
Tom, cases, you're an attorney, so correct me if I'm wrong. If I say to someone off the record, I killed my neighbor. On the record, I didn't kill my neighbor.
Still an admission against
specifically interest. Saying on I'll never forget the first job I had out of college. We were in a training program, and they said there's no such thing as off the record. Anything you say, right, whatever, is considered on the record. So
On the record, off the record is more of a journalistic than a legal thing. But you're correct that if you make a statement, it can be offered against you even if you're not in court. But we're not going to go to hearsay theory. But the point is, Julie, to your question, Joel in both instances did tell the committee on the record in an open committee meeting what Chris Anker had said to him. So I think your concern is addressed. I understand the points you're raising, but I don't know that there has to be this formal endorsement by Anker. As Kathleen suggested, if I say something offhanded, it could still be used against me. And I'm not saying we use this against Chris Anker, but I don't believe he was being untruthful when he shared those things with Joel. And Joel did share with us on two different occasions at two different meetings what Anker said to him. So, it may not be as zipped up as we would like. Anchor saying, yes, I said exactly these things, but I think Joel's a decent reporter, and I think that he did a good job of translating it. Again, the follow-up conversation he had with Anchor was consistent with the first conversation.
What does Joel think? Because I'm not trying to question Joel.
I'm not suggesting you are, but Joel, you can speak to this.
Yeah, right. I simply cut and pasted his email to me, and you'll see it in the email that I forward to Sarah. It begins with Joel. And he did ask that I not include his email address because he doesn't want to get involved in local politics. So I simply cut and pasted the exact email that he sent to me because he gave me permission to share his comments with the committee. So that's exactly what I did. And then we discussed his comments at the following meeting. Correct. That's how progress, right.
And then Joel, you had a subsequent conversation with him sometime before our last meeting, correct?
Yeah, I'm trying to recall. I spoke to him again, and I think I asked him if he would be willing to sit in on a call with us, and he declined.
Right.
But he did not, retract the information, his comments in the email that he provided to me.
So in my opinion, and you can disagree with me if you want, but I think that it's sufficiently reliable, especially given Joel saying they just cut and paste what the guy sent to him. That is actually the opinions of Chris Anker. This comes out and he refutes it, then we'll deal with it. But I just don't see that being the case. I mean, it was both Arnold whatever his name is, the superintendent and anchor, Arnold Randall, thank you, both said largely the same thing, that there is an overabundance of deer in the Thatcher Wood complex. Anchor went farther than Arnold did, but I think that there's at least a consistency between the position of the general superintendent and the head wildlife guy. So I am comfortable in including that in the report, but I'm just one vote, including Anchor's comments in the report.
So Sarah, is this compliant?
What do you mean?
It is the email and the conversation and the reference and the publicity or being made public to it, is this sufficient for what the committee rules are around? Is that what you were trying to say before?
Well, I'm guessing the email, I don't remember, but Joel shared the content of the email with the committee in open session.
The actual email itself, right.
So,
and that's reflected in the minutes that were approved.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
And thank you, Julie, for bringing that issue.
So
was there anything that I didn't, first of all, thanks to Sarah for the yeoman's work on the report. Is there anything that someone wanted in there that's not in there? Or is there something that someone didn't want in there that's in there? So that we can-
I had one minor. Oh, go ahead, John, I'll go next.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
He doesn't want his email.
Dan, you're somewhat muddled in your talk.
Should I talk or is Dan talking?
He was talking, but I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Sorry.
So on the, it doesn't have page numbers, but on the section where, you know, we are on recommendations and on the Lyme disease, this second sentence, third line, it says this issue was heatedly debated at them committee and no consensus. I think I don't even know what that sentence is supposed to be saying. So the grammar is really bad, but so we should fix that. But I think it might be saying that this issue was heavily debated, and I don't think that's accurate. I mean, it was debated, but not heavily at all.
Tempers were raised, Jen.
What's that?
Tempers were raised, at least in my recollection.
For Lyme disease.
We have different recollections. I don't know. Okay. I did proofread this thing.
Make sure it's in the minutes for me, Sarah, that are I want to be on record. Because I purposely, other than the first meeting to discuss that we should be talking about this, in terms of the issues for Lyme disease, I want to make sure that I personally stayed relatively neutral.
John, I didn't name you. We can take out heated. That was my recollection. Admittedly, that was early in our conversations.
Yeah,
it's fine. All right. Well, anyways, we should fix the sentence.
Sure it is.
It's not that well written. It says this issue was heatedly debated at them committee, and no. So I think this issue was heavily debated within the committee. That's fine if you want to put that. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's
we'll,
fine.
We'll just take out. We'll just say debated.
Okay, and then change at them. Just say within the committee.
I'm sorry.
It says this issue is. Heatedly debated, so we take out heatedly, debated, and then it says at them committee. I would say within the committee, get rid of at them.
Yeah, I can't explain that typo.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I proofread it, but I must have missed that.
Yeah, and then a small other grammar thing is that the last sentence of that same paragraph, there should be a period. But okay, I don't want to debate you, Tom. That's the last thing I'm going to do. I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, that's fine, John. No, I welcome the input. Again, I apologize for the typos. It looked good to me when I sent it, but I don't know. But there was incredible formatting problems with this thing because I was incorporating like a whole bunch of different things into it. And so that's my only excuse. Dan, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Tom, this is Jack. I got two things. One is, has anybody said anything about the lady who wrote 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? I was in Florida. In the so I get it late in the Wednesday Journal, who works for the who's volunteers over at the center over there, Trailside, who has something to say about agreeing with the majority. And she was in the Forest Leaves. Did anybody see that?
I stopped reading the Wednesday Journal, Jack, so I did not. But.
Okay. All right. Jack, well, it was in there 3 weeks. Okay. And the second thing is, I've got something from the Smithsonian. Somebody asked the Smithsonian, can suburban neighborhoods control deer population? And William McShay, a biologist from the Smithsonian Conservative Biology Institute, said, there are many ways to keep deer out, but deer can spread ticks and fatal car accidents and all the rest of stuff. And he said that many towns allow limited hunting or even hire professional hunting to cull their deer. But he says it's a serious issue. I thought that when it gets to the Smithsonian, that's those people are pretty well appreciated. Thank you.
So, can I get a sense of the committee about adding those two items to the report? I have to read the Wednesday Journal. I haven't seen it, but
I haven't read the journal, so I'm not comfortable with that. So I don't know, and I don't know how the Smithsonian. I mean, yes, it's a very general comment. I don't know how applicable it is to our very focused situation here, but
fair enough.
I think everybody. I think being on the committee, everybody needs to read it. It was the op-ed by the woman from the Trailside Museum. I think it took the emotion out of it and gave a very good explanation.
And that is, you know, she is local and, you know, that would be relevant to our community.
Yep.
So guys, what that means is we're going to have another meeting.
Right. I'm not okay with that yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. Can I talk? I guess. All right, the Lyme disease thing, John. I know it's really, really important and a real big factor for a lot of residents. And even the CDC, you know, we could, if we really wanted to get into Lyme disease, you know, the CDC and their recommendations, the experts that we've all seen on TV, you know, talking about the pandemic, that there's tons and tons of information on how dangerous it is. You know, I remember our conversations, you know, I was talking about my dogs, but, you know, dogs, great. I'm concerned about them, but, you know, the little kids are where the real concern is at, you know, and it's John, I agree. We didn't fully get heavily into it, but it definitely was a marked concern on the survey. And, you know, it's definitely on, you know, a lot of residents' minds. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it's clearly on my mind as well, Dan. I mean, obviously, that's what I just wanted, you know, I've heard a number of people say I was kind of stacked on the committee because of my views on Lyme disease, how it's impacted our family. So, I just want to make sure that, you know, at least my view is I kind of try to stay relatively neutral. The first meeting I was at before COVID maybe got into it a little bit. But after that, I kind of try to stay. And then maybe I let my feelings feel down.
I wasn't suggesting that. I just, maybe that was the first meeting that I remembered, but I just.
Yeah, no.
I was trying to summarize a year's worth of work, so forgive me.
It's fine, Tom.
We will take out heated. Let me suggest that we will add a section on the op-ed piece. I got to read it first. But this doesn't mean we're going to meet again.
I don't think we need to add it. I just think for everyone's benefit, we should just take
it. Can we,
it's
can
a
we
good read.
Get a sense, I don't know. A sense of the committee to just add it as exhibit to the report.
Tom, can I ask?
Yes, right.
Could that Wednesday Journal article be sent to the committee? And can the committee then vote by email and say yes or no to add this to the
because we're meeting virtually around, we have to have these meetings. There has to be a roll call. So how about this? We just append it as another exhibit to the report.
Edward.
Should, should I just read it right now? I mean, I can just pull it up.
I can't agree to that without having read it, but.
Yeah, I get that, Julie. I mean, if you want me to just read it, I can Google it. Could,
why don't you just read it, Kathleen? Then it's
part of the minute. Share your screen too.
Well, and Kathleen, if you have a bio on this woman, is she a dear expert or is this personal opinion?
Here, let me, well, see, hold on. Let me, give me a second to look it up and share my screen. Okay, hang on.
Someone was at the Masters.
Oh God, sorry. That's, oh God, that's my husband's picture. Sorry, I need to change that.
So awesome.
That was many years ago. Okay, Helen. God, who sent this to me? Was it the, it was it the four, Jack, do you recall, was it the Forest Leaves? It was what? Wednesday Journal. Okay, hold on.
I did not see it, but somebody on the community, I guess, well, I shouldn't, somebody.
I will tell you, I pulled it out and left it in Florida, but it was at least three weeks ago, I'm sure, in the last four or five pages.
Okay, give me one second.
And I guess while you're looking, I would like to say, you know, if they're going to publish anything, geez, because we found out they're listening. You know, I hope they publish the report, you know, because there was some, like, you know, I don't know, statistics. I'd really like, you know, them to, like, publish the report.
You know, I do agree with Julie on the fact that, you know, she does have to have some credentials in terms of.
She does.
Yeah, I can't say them specifically, but
that's the reason I introduced it.
Yeah, I do agree with that. That
gosh,
in order for us to include, she's got to have a.
Was the letter the why manage deer populations?
Yes.
I found it. As a non-hunting vegetarian nature lover, I'm in favor of deer. My heart lifts when I see a doe and fawn browsing in the green dappled light of the early summer in Thatcher Woods. I marvel at their ability to move quickly through the trees and seemingly to appear and disappear at will. Yet I believe the deer herd should be managed so that the population will fit their available habitat. In the natural food webby scheme of things, deer as herbivores are prey animals with high reproductive rates and a need for large areas full of plants that nourish them. Over the past million years, they've co-evolved with their predators. Until the 19th century, deer roamed wildly, their populations kept in balance by wolves and native peoples who depended on them for sustenance. Wolves took what they needed and left the rest for scavengers such as coyotes and crows. Humans used nearly every part of the deer meat, hide, hooves, bones, antlers, to supply an extremely sustainable, low-waste lifestyle. Deer herds were healthier and plant biodiversity was high. When settlers occupied Illinois, breaking the prairies, felling timber, and building cities and railroads, everything changed. They extirpated the wolves and drove out the native tribes. Deer hunting continued until the population crashed and hunting was banned between 1901 and 1957. In the Chicago region, hunting ceased altogether while habitat shrank. With no predator beside the coyote that reappeared in the late 70s, urban deer kept multiplying, foraging for plants, and dying from starvation and sickness while severely damaging biodiverse ecosystems in people's gardens. Like it or not, we are now the apex predator. Because we manage the land and its creatures, I believe we have a responsibility to do so in an ecologically beneficial manner. We're not about to tear down our neighborhoods and move away so deer can have more habitat, nor is the thought of wolves roaming Thatcher Woods enticing. So what are the choices? All management must be an ongoing process because deer will always reproduce maximally in response to population decline, no matter the cause. Birth control and other methods are logistically difficult and extremely expensive. Alternatively, professional sharpshooters can cull the herds efficiently at regular intervals with the processed meats provided to charity. A smaller herd would give each fawn a chance to grow up healthy. Biodiversity would increase and beautiful wildflowers, shrubs, and trees native to our woods would thrive.
Starving animals would not wander the streets, endangering motorists and themselves. Realistically, the deer in a well-managed herd would live more natural lives than animals in our industrial agricultural system. Deer are not our pests, nor are they pests. They are wild animals trying to live their lives in the context of their biological roles within a human-dominated landscape. We humans have a responsibility to make sure they can do so in order that we can beneficially coexist. And it says that she lives in, her name is Adrian, or is it her name? I don't know. Adrian Ayers Fisher lives in Oak Park and volunteers with the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. That's the extent of her CV, or his CV.
I have her, I pulled her up on LinkedIn if you want. She's been the coordinator of the Sustainability Center at Triton College for 9 years. She got the position through a grant from the Illinois Green Economy Network. Purpose of the center is to advance sustainability on campus and in the community through education programs and partnerships. She was an adjunct instructor at Triton. She looks like she was a undergrad degree in education and a master's in English and literature. And she is the group leader at the Adena Woods adjacent to Triton. And then she's an apprentice steward at the Thatcher Woods Savannah. It says.
So Julie, does that satisfy you?
I mean, I think it says that she's a great writer with an English degree. And I mean, look, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I mean, I think it was very well written. I think it was someone's opinion. I think that, you know, she exuded her passion for X and her concern for Y. So I get that, but I don't think she's a deer expert. That's my opinion. So I'll let others weigh in. And I don't think she has the credentials of one.
Are you a deer expert?
No, but I was put on this committee to
make sure that come on. Guys, let's please.
Let's not.
I got COVID. I'm not feeling well. Let's be nice to each other. Ron, go ahead.
Oh, you have COVID?
No, I got the shot yesterday, and now I got the chills and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I got the chills and body aches. And
I just got the shot today.
Yeah, I got my second, so hopefully I'm good. But that second shot sucks.
Hey, Tom, to Julie's point, I have no problem reaching out to the senior wildlife biologist I spoke to, Chris Anker. First of all, to ask if he has a problem with his name being cited in the final report, and to make sure he's completely comfortable with that language. I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, I don't think another month is going to make a huge difference unless others do feel that way.
And then just to raise a point, if we don't send this to the village board this month, I won't be on the village board when they decide this matter, which will address a concern a lot of people.
How soon could we reconvene to, you know, address Julie's concern and make sure that the biologist is okay with his name appearing in it and you know, the way we paraphrased his comments?
We just need 48 hours notice of the agenda. Right. So there is no real constraint on our meeting again.
Right. I'm not trying to throw a wrench into this whole process. I just want everyone to be on board. I have no problem reaching out to Chris. I can absolutely do that, Julie. I'm happy to do that. And, you know, I think that's fine. You know, the other option is simply could remove his name. I'm sorry.
Joel, I
appreciate that, Joel.
Yeah.
I personally prefer that you reach out to him first before we remove his name, because, you know, he is the chief, you know, otherwise we lose the benefit, in my view, of his being the chief wildlife biologist for the Forest Preserve, because obviously you can't say the chief wildlife without identifying who he is. Right. So I would prefer that we get his, if that's a concern for people, I would prefer that we get his sign off on it.
Sure, it is approval for his comments to appear in our report. And I believe his official title is Senior Wildlife Biologist. And there was one very minor edit in that portion of the report where his comments are cited. We made a negative comment about the browse line not existing. Actually, it's the converse. In his email, he said the browse line does exist. So we just had the concept flipped. It's actually a very minor point.
Wait, but then so, if there's a browse line, the browse line would be above 6 feet.
Well, it's approximately 6 foot. I think in his email, he said approximately 1 meter, right? But the browse line is the definitive line. And I know this being an environmental professional myself, it's a definitive, visibly apparent line where the deer have browsed the vegetation. So there is no vegetation with below that line, hence the term browse line. So it's a very simple edit. We just need to
sure. see. No, but Joel, the browse line does exist. If there was vegetation,
and that's what he clearly said.
If there was vegetation all the way to the
ground, I'm sorry, Tom.
If there was vegetation all the way to the ground, there would be no browse line?
No, it's the converse. So when the vegetation has been removed, the line at which the vegetation is no longer apparent is called the browse line. So it's a void.
Joel, just send me a quick email how you want it changed. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
No, it's a real simple concept. Yeah. What you guys
apparently eluded me.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, the browse line just refers to what's missing below it. There's no vegetation below the browse line. Above the browse line, there is vegetation. Yeah, no, it's a real simple correction. It's you just remove not. It does exist. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so interested in. I think we, you know, I've talked about, you know, I go to the woods all the time. I was just there this morning in spring, and it's so noticeable. It's just it's sad, you know. Whatever.
Is there anything else missing from the report that people want in it? Going on. So we will have to have another meeting. I'll make the corrections that John and Joel had suggested. Although Joel, you're gonna have to still explain that to me because I'm still a little bit lost.
No problem.
And then who's gonna deal with the woman from the Wednesday Journal?
What do you mean by that?
Didn't someone suggest that they would reach out to her or something? What do we wanna do with the Wednesday Journal article?
The reporter or the woman who wrote it?
The op-ed piece.
I'm with Julie.
Just nothing. Attach it to the report.
Exhibit.
I don't think it's, honestly, guys, I don't think it's meaningful. I think we're going to get ripped if we publish, if we put that in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what she cites, I will say, before I got on the committee, I did a lot of research on this out of curiosity from having grown up here and there weren't deer all over the place to living here now. So I did a ton of research on this before. So what I feel, what she says, I feel she's very well informed. And these were things I, you know, learned about from doing a lot of reading and researching on it. But I don't think it has relevance to our, I mean, I think it's an interesting explanation. And I think a lot of people are not understanding that piece of it. And that's why they're so enraged about this. But the fact that it's an op-ed, people will poke holes all over it, I think.
I'm
you know, she's an English, she's a writer, she's not a scientist. It's just gonna open up a can of worms.
She's a good writer.
She is a good writer. And I think she cites exactly what I came to understood as to why there are so many deer. Urban sprawl, the lack of their natural predators. You know, there's Jack Flynn always talks about how they never used to eat his hostas. Now they eat all of them because they've eaten the vegetation in the forest reserves, and the forest reserves have maintained the forest reserves and removed dead trees and all that. So here's the mess we're left with.
Damn. So I just want to say, the first thing that I remember getting involved with this was I watched the video the guy presented to the village council. The forest preserve guy, and that basically he said exactly what she summarized. So are we referencing that he's an official Cook County, I forget his title actually, but that
Illinois Department of Natural Resources
right now, right?
He was with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
That was Tim Pruce with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
I agree with Dan. He said the exact, he summed it up. That's exactly what his presentation was about.
And like, people totally were enraged with him. But why would he lie? You know, why would these official people lie?
So I think we're accusing them of lying, Dan. I think it's just they're interpreting data differently.
Oh, all right.
Julie?
All right.
I mean, look, guys, I have two major concerns, just in general, and I'm not sure they're addressed I mean, I think we know how the vote ended last time, and I know I'm in the minority here, so I can acknowledge that, and that's okay. But the one major concern I have among a couple is the proximity of the shooting and the culling to the River Forest residents. And, you know, I just don't have enough information. You know, I'm somebody that I own firearms. So it's not that, but I'm concerned because my belief, and whether it's right or wrong, I don't know, is that the Forest Preserve really hasn't paid us much attention, which is why I was calling to attention Mr. Anker's commentary, that this is a real need to drive, because there was one concern about the radius in which they would be doing the shootings and things versus the population and the land area mass, if you will, of River Forest. And I have to say that that is a genuine concern of mine. So that's one thing that I feel like we have not, you know, cited how that's going to be handled and managed, instead of just like trust the snipers. Like, I don't. And I think that that's the reason. And I would like, you know, if Mr. Anker or whomever was on record, it's unfortunate that we don't have somebody from the Forest Preserve that would have come, let us interview them, ask very crucial questions, and have them actually feed back to us, you know, why they aren't doing this on their own proactively versus otherwise. And so that's my opinion. I don't feel like we covered it. I don't agree with all the interpretations of the data, which is, you know, it is what it is at this point, but that's what I'll go on record and say. So,
rather than Joel, but Julie, I did have that conversation with the Forest Preserve. I can't tell you who I met with, but it was a number of Forest Preserve people in their office over Harlem, and their reason for not handling the deer in Thatcher Woods is because they don't have the money. They told me four times in the same conversation about their $100 million pension shortfalls and that they're just allocating the resources they have. So it's not as though their ambivalence to the forest, to Thatcher Woods, is indicative of the fact there's not a problem. It's just they don't have the resources to deal with the problem.
And then I would like them to go on record and say that on record, right?
So
that's my point. And I'm not trying to argue with you, Tom. I'm not very fact-based person. And that's what, to me, has been short. You know, I know we've all tried. I know we've all debated. I know we all have, you know, had heated debates here. And this has been stressful on everybody, right? And so we're all coming at it with informed opinions. That's mine. So.
And I wasn't trying to dissuade you from your opinion. I was just trying to tell you what, at least on the topic of why the Forest Preserve isn't addressing the problem, even though both The general superintendent, as well as the chief wild biologist, said that there was an overabundance of deer in the Forest Preserve. The reason they're not addressing it is they don't have the resources to do so. So Ron and then Joel.
I just have a question. Is it the committee's responsibility or the board's responsibility about how the culling is done? In other words, whether it's they use sharpshooters or bows and arrows, whatever they want to use, I don't know. But it's not our committee's responsibility to decide how that's done and how it's done safely. I think that's something that the board in the Cook County Forest Preserves needs to figure out. So I don't think that's relevant to this committee.
Well, the actual decision on how to cull is made by the Federal Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
So they're the actual sharpshooters. They're the ones that actually do the culling. Admittedly, it's the Forest Preserve's land, it's the Illinois Department of Natural Resources deer, but the agency that's responsible for the culling program, and they're the ones that set the parameters and where it does, all that stuff, is the Department of Agriculture, the Federal Department of Agriculture. We can't tell them how to do it.
That's what I thought.
Joel?
Right. I was just going to reiterate exactly what Tom said about why perhaps Thatcher Woods has not received the attention that it needs for deer management. And I was also told it was a funding issue. And then one comment directly from this email, and Julie, I admire you. I am also a very fact-based person, absolutely. And just to read one portion from this email that was circulated to the committee. In the senior wildlife biologist's view, all palatable foodstuff from the ground up to 1 meter is absent. This typically indicates a herd that is 40 to 60 per square mile, roughly the size of Thatcher Woods. The deer herd would need to be less than 10 to achieve significant vegetative recovery. And I believe that reference to less than 10 appears in the draft report, if I'm not mistaken.
I kind of remember it being in there.
It is. And then just, you know, I know we've been talking about anecdotal evidence here, but 3 weeks ago, driving home from work at the intersection of Thatcher and I believe it was Washington, I stopped at the intersection. There were 22 deer in that intersection. There's a small field right at that intersection. You know, so I think that factually, objectively speaking, the evidence is extremely apparent.
Yeah, it's way more than anecdotal.
Yeah,
I totally agree, Joel.
Yeah, right. And you know, Julie, I'm with you. Believe me, I am with you in not making decisions based on emotion. I couldn't agree with you more. I aim to be extremely objective in my work. And I've been involved with deer management for well over 10 years now. I've had Lyme disease. I could talk to all of you a long time about why I got Lyme disease. And clearly it was a link to deer overpopulation in an area. I'm a deer hunter. On numerous occasions, the group that I volunteer control hunts with, we have harvested deer that have had up to 20 to 30 ticks, deer ticks on them that are the carrier, the transmitter of the bacteria that carries Lyme disease. So anyway, and I hope people aren't upset about prolonging this process one step further, but I want to get it right. I want everyone, including Julie, to be comfortable.
Kathleen?
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, we have talked a little bit about the sharpshooting, Julie, and I know you've expressed your concern before just being in close proximity to the forest. And I know we have a couple times been explained a little bit about how it works, how they're, I think they build some sort of perch, or they're above, you know, they're kind of, I don't know, 15, 20 feet in the air. And so they're shooting down and into the woods, not out. I think it would take, you know, I put it this way. I don't think they're going to be trained people that say, oops, I shot it into the street and it went into someone's house. I mean, these are trained people. There's a very systemic way to do this. And there are these calls happen all the time in different places. So ours is just a little bit unique. And I think we, you know, need to trust these people that do this, trained to do it well. And that's just my thought on the concern.
So just to wrap things up, hopefully, are there any other additions that people want or any deletions? John, I will fix the typos you raised.
Yeah.
Embarrassed, but you know. It was funny because I actually did read it twice and I just missed that. I'm embarrassed.
Well, it's very hard to read your own writing.
Yes, it's true. Because I just assume I'm always perfect. And then Joel, how much time do you think that you need to reach out to Anchor?
I can try to reach out to Cook County again this, you know, within the next 7 days, for sure, to speak to the senior wildlife biologist. I'm happy to do that. And also concerning details about suburban deer control hunts, I think Tim Price might be able to answer that question pretty directly about safety and what measures are taken to promote safety within a suburban area. So I would have no problem reaching out to him as well to answer that, respond to that concern. And Tom, I'm not going to harp on you. Just another real minor typo. On page 23 of the PDF document of the report. By the way, I think it was very well written overall.
Sarah gets the credit.
That's, yeah, Sarah, outstanding work. Section two on page 23, thinks that they village appears in that paragraph under section two. Again, this is really minor stuff.
I get the blame for the typo. Sarah gets the credit.
And that I picked up, yeah. I mean, I thought overall it was very well written.
Yeah, you're right. They're not.
I completely agree. It was very well written.
Yeah. So when I say page 23 of the PDF, I'm talking about the agenda, the whole packet, which is
a PDF of
37 pages, right? So it's 23 of the entire PDF.
Yeah.
Or it is page of the report. I think the report actually was paginated. Let's see.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe.
So it's in two? Where was the title?
It's item two at the top of page 23 of the entire 37 page PDF. And it's the discussion about Good Earth Nursery to educate residents about deer resistant plants. Oh yeah. Also, the committee thinks that they village needs to be better promote and make more accessible. It's barely worth even mentioning.
No. I'm embarrassed, but I will fix it.
Don't be embarrassed with the amount of time that it took to put into this, please.
Oh, come on.
I'm not nitpicking.
Joel, I appreciate it. Okay, so can we convene again in 2 weeks and draw this to a close?
Can I say something, Tom?
Of course.
I think because of the fact that you put so much time and effort into this, that this committee needs to wrap this up while you're still a member of the Village Board of Trustees. I don't think it would be fair to you or to the residents of the village.
I'm looking quite forward to my retirement, Ron, but I will still be on the Village Board until May, the first Monday and second Monday in May. So technically speaking, if we have a meeting in 2 weeks, I'll still be on the board when it's presented to the Village Board.
Okay. Why don't we try to meet next Thursday?
The only limitation is Joel.
Dan, I want to be full disclosure. That's the only literally day next week I can't meet. I'm very sorry.
I'm not available next Thursday.
I will meet any other day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The only day I cannot meet is Thursday of next week.
I cannot either.
2 weeks. So can we do it 2 weeks from Tuesday? Which I don't know the date.
I'll make it work.
The 27th?
Yeah. And I promise you it'll be quick unless you find some other typos.
The 27th. And I guess, can we please add to the appendix the original video of the official guy, his presentation? Please, it's just so.
We can add a link. I mean, obviously the appendix can't carry a video because it's on paper, but we can add a link to it from the village's website.
The link.
Sure.
I mean,
I like that. Great job. Yeah, I like that, Dan.
Really?
Okay.
Just one quick follow-up. Hey, Jill, you're absolutely right. I should go back on in terms of the sharpshooters. That should be an important piece that we discuss because that is a legitimate concern, and so. As much as maybe we've talked about it, it should be in the report and discuss that in detail.
Okay. Do you mind reaching out to Tim Pruce and?
Sure, I can tackle both of those.
Yeah, I can do it too.
I thought Tim discussed it in the original presentation to the board, and that Dan is now appending to our report.
I'll see what he said and I'll try and summarize it.
Good.
Yeah, and Joel, I just wanted on record that I was not questioning your integrity. I've actually very much enjoyed working with you. We've talked offline. We've just a me you fashion. And I know you've been a part of these meetings. And I mean, same really for all of you. I don't mind agreeing to disagree. I actually don't across the board, because that's how you get to the right place.
Right.
Because we all have our opinions very charged with either facts and or emotion, and we all have both. let me be clear, we all have both. And so I'm going to live here for a long time. I've lived here a long time. I have kids. Many of you have kids. My dog is barking now. She's fired up. I've lived across the street from the forest. I see the deer, right? And if we have an unsafe environment that is unsustainable, I'm not opposed to dealing with it. I have been here and shown up to ask for facts, right? And to run those facts down. And I think the facts also need to point to education around the community and safety, right? And not just to sharpshooters, but it's traffic and it's Lyme disease education and it's all kinds of stuff, right? I know last meeting I kind of said, look, I don't care about gardens as much because I don't, right? I don't hold as much weight to that as I do some of the other stuff, but I am concerned about people who are not advocating to come in and sharpshoot in the first place, budget or not. They're not coming to us saying we should do this for the safety of your community. And so therefore we've formed this community or this committee, excuse me, and we're paying money and then we're exposing our residents to, you know, and I don't want to say like this grave danger because that's not what I'm trying to incent, but we're responsible here. I mean, we are, and that's where I've been coming from, and I hope all of you have been coming from, and I know we've disagreed a lot, and I'm still here, right, agreeing, disagreeing, or agreeing, right, for real, and so I hope when I see it, Jewel, or whatever, like, we're all just trying to get to the right place instead of, like, we've had our minds made up from day one, because I genuinely haven't, and that's what I'm most concerned about, is that the report is factual. Even if I don't agree with it all, even if I'm not going to like vote for that report, I just want it to be factual. And I want it to cite people because I think we really should ask ourselves, why the hell isn't our forest preserve people coming in and saying, you guys have a real problem, we're going to help you solve it?
Well, they are. They're just asking us to pay for it.
They're, exactly. Yeah. They are. Right. But they're not necessarily all on record doing that. So anyway, I'm not trying to start an argument. I'm just saying.
But Julie, the general superintendent did say in that section that was quoted that he managed culling program. I don't remember the exact words, but clearly the indication was the Forest Preserve's professional opinion that a culling program was appropriate. And that was him on the record on their letterhead unequivocally. So
I'll just say one. Can I say one thing, Tom? I know you want to. I mean, listen, I mean, this committee, I mean, it wasn't, we spent all that time getting the damn survey together. It wasn't really a research committee. You know, if it was a research committee, it would have been a totally different direction, but that's not what we were doing. We were just basically assessing what the community's view is on this. And then the only real expertise that we had was Tim Bruce and Joel is pretty damn good, and Joel's contact. I mean, those were our experts. None of
hey,
us
Jen,
really.
I think we have to be careful to say that because I do think there was a research component to it, and it was the multidisciplinary committee, and then the other sources you cited. And so I think that's important note because the survey, especially the comments part, mentioned, you know, other ideas or solutions that we knew weren't feasible given our research. So, and the other thing that I think we all know people are screaming about is in the survey in terms of, you know, there's those op-eds about check your math, blah, blah, blah. You know, what we took from the survey was those people that are having deer issue were in favor of culling. And when that didn't add, you know, when you took the total percentiles of people, it didn't add up, but the people that were having deer issues were in favor of it. I think that's important to note that by ignoring those people, it would be, I think it's a similar situation if you were to have flooding in one area of River Forest because of, you know, sewage pipes that the village needed to be replaced and other residents said, well, my basin's not flooding. I don't want to pay for that. I think we have to highlight that because those op-ed pieces really ripped us on how we were assessing the numbers. And I think that should just, I just want to mention that on the record for a point of clarity. But also, Julie, I appreciate you hung in there too. I really respect you for doing that very much so. And I've enjoyed working with you.
Thanks, Kathleen. I appreciate that.
Call it to a halt here, huh?
We will meet again in the 2 weeks from Tuesday, from last Tuesday, right? That's what we agreed?
Yep.
7:30? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
April 27th, just to.
I recommend we adjourn.
We got to move, Jen. Jack.
Yeah, it's the 27th.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Is there a roll call?
Okay. Dan Hollenbach.
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes.
Yes.
John Mazgala.
Yes.
Ron Lamar.
Yes.
John Rieger.
Yes.
Joel Luking.
Yes.
Jack Flynn.
Yes.
Julie Armstrong.
Yes.
And Chairperson Card.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Stay well.
Thanks, guys. See you.